Welcome to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.
And welcome to Episode 7 of the Center of Everywhere podcast. I'm Marnie Werner, the Research Director at the Center for Rural Policy and Development. Tourism makes up a significant piece of rural Minnesota's economic pie. Our guest on this episode today is Cynthia Messer, the Director of the Tourism Center, a division of the University of Minnesota Extension. She talked with CRPD President Julie Tesh about the research they do at the Tourism Center, the roles tourism and tourism spending play in Greater Minnesota, the training they offer communities to enhance their tourism economies, and the silver linings for tourism coming out of the pandemic. And one quick note, we were having trouble with Cynthia's audio for about the first 20 minutes, so please hang in there and enjoy the conversation.
Joining us today, we have Cynthia Messer, and she is with the University of Minnesota Extension Tourism Center, and she is the Interim Associate Dean for the Center of Community Vitality and also the Director of the Tourism Center. So welcome, Cynthia.
Well, thank you, Julie. It's great to be with you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then also about the Tourism Center and what they do here in Minnesota?
I've been with the Tourism Center 27 years, and the Tourism Center, as part of the University of Minnesota Extension, is dedicated to providing research and research-based educational programs for the industry and for communities that are engaging in tourism in Minnesota. That's many of our communities across all 87 counties. So we work across the state. We work with a lot of collaborators, and the mission of the Tourism Center is basically to empower these communities and community leaders and the industry to prepare and support sustainable tourism in their communities. Historically, the University of Minnesota Tourism Center has been in existence for nearly 34 years, providing support to communities and industry. But Extension has a very long history of engaging in tourism work. Actually, more than 50 years worth of it. It started out very early on working with many of our small resorts. Minnesota resorts are unique. And we've seen the industry grow in this state, we've been right there to partner with them. So we're delighted to continue to work with the industry.
Fantastic. I know I have the honor and privilege of being on your advisory committee. And
yes.
And I've learned a great deal just in the last year being on there. And gosh, meeting so many people from different parts of tourism in Minnesota that I hadn't thought of before. And so I think that's really neat that you do have that advisory committee. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. The Tourism Center has a 22-person advisory committee that represents the diverse sectors of tourism in Minnesota, and it ranges everywhere from lodging to resorts to retail to our attraction base, as well as some of our colleagues, both like yourself. We have a permanent seat for John Edmond, who is the current director of Explore Minnesota Tourism, which is the state agency marketing tourism. And we really look to this advisory committee to not just advocate for us, but to be a conduit of information to the sector that they represent within tourism. So it helps us to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on, to learn that businesses and communities are dealing with. And so it's a great relationship, and quarterly. So again, it brings us great information on a regular basis.
You mentioned Explore Minnesota. Could you explain the difference between what Explore Minnesota does and what the Tourism Center does?
Oh, good question. Like to frame it that Explore Minnesota Tourism is truly the marketing agency for the state of Minnesota. and that's their area of expertise. They work very closely with industry and with industry associations. And the Tourism Center provides a base of research and educational programming. So it's a great partnership relationship that we have with Explore Minnesota Tourism. And we value that just as we value the relationships with a lot of state associations as well.
So obviously we're in some very different times, like we were talking before, with COVID and working from home. And summer obviously is a very strong time for tourism in Minnesota. How overall do you think tourism is doing right now in this state with the current epidemic or pandemic?
It's struggling. As you probably are aware, tourism is a $16 billion industry in the state of Minnesota and provides about 273,000 people in part-time jobs year-round. So as the tourism industry impacted nationally, globally, and right here in the state of Minnesota, we've seen it play out. It was very difficult. The spring quarter was very difficult. Hearing that the summer, which is a big season for tourism in Minnesota, has for many destinations not been up to normal, but been stronger. So that's encouraging. We're not out of the woods yet, but I think the destinations and businesses, as they have found ways to provide protection and safety and security for travelers and for their residents, I think we're seeing more people feeling more comfortable going to destinations, and these communities are welcoming visitors, which is very positive. I'm seeing some positive things that lodging tax revenues are still down year over year for many destinations, but they're seeing some positive strength this summer. The numbers aren't in completely yet because the summer season is still in full swing.
I'm guessing too, it depends upon the area of the state. I was talking with County Administrator for Crow Wing County yesterday and asking him how things were going and what the industry was looking like. And he said they're actually doing better than they expected. And so, you know, that's Brainerd and the Brainerd Lakes area. And so it will be interesting to look at the final numbers because obviously, yes, spring was rough, but they've been pleasantly surprised.
Yes. And as I say, I'm starting to hear those numbers as they're getting their monthly reports in, that in fact the lodging aspect of our industry is, I say, not fully back to normal, if we would do it, but they've been very pleasantly surprised. Our resorts are doing very well as a whole, and our campgrounds are doing very well. But that doesn't necessarily play out across the whole of the community. And when we think about tourism being more than just lodging, more than just restaurants, I think we need to think holistically in communities and the impact that this has. Because visitors move around a region, they move around a community, and hopefully are spending dollars and engaging with businesses from Main Street to the events and attractions, which have also been badly hit this year.
I think a lot of people don't realize, and I know I'm one of them, I'm from corn and soybeans and hogs in southern Minnesota. We do have tourism around here, but, you know, more where a few of the lakes are. So, you know, thinking of tourism as being a vital part of the community, I think eludes some people like myself. And, you know, you talked about kind of the support businesses, the restaurants, the coffee shops, any retail. What do you see happening in the future with some of these support industries? Do you think they'll be able to, pivot to make something work? What are you seeing?
I think we are seeing businesses pivoting, being more creative in how they approach, and they're doing it. I see collaborations occurring. So, for example, when restaurants were allowed to reopen, but with limitations, you saw communities step forward and allow businesses to create outdoor dining spaces in parking lots that would not have been allowed previously. But the community recognized that these businesses need to survive. And so they enabled that through policy change. Whether that will continue long-term or not will be an important question. So that's important. You see retail businesses delivering curbside. You see deliveries happening in communities that didn't necessarily have those opportunities previously. And you see chambers of commerce and convention and visitor bureaus really reaching out to support local businesses with information forums. For example, Thief River Falls has done a very good job of really bringing their business community from Main Street to insurance companies to doctor's offices together to keep them informed. I think that's a very important role that our destination marketing organizations can play in tapping into the needs of residents and businesses to maintain a vital community.
You know, we're really fortunate here in Minnesota that we have so much outdoor recreation, and I think that puts us at a great advantage, especially right now in the summer. But Minnesotans and Midwesterners don't mind being outside even in the thick of the winter. We talked last week when we were preparing for this, we talked about rural Minnesota is perfectly positioned for social distancing. And, you know, that is another thing I hadn't thought of, but with outdoor recreation, we really are positioned quite well. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I think that's absolutely true. I think when you look at the breadth of outdoor recreation opportunities, we have so much more than just our lakes, which are a very important component of that, but we have fantastic parks. We have great trails. You know, we were talking just a few minutes ago about bicycling. Big opportunity to get out not only on the trails, which are terrific, but even road biking. We've seen an uptick in that. We have fantastic scenic byways in the state of Minnesota. So if you're not an active outdoor recreationist, you can still get out and whether you're a leaf peeper or you just simply want to go and enjoy some of the local one-off type activities, whether it's taking your disc golfs and going to a different park and trying out a different disc golf facility, playing golf courses. We have a lot of municipal golf courses around the state, as well as tournament golf courses. And then you mentioned summer activities, and those are all obviously summer activities, but we're moving into fall. We're moving into the hunting season, for example, is another way outdoor recreation plays out across the state of Minnesota. Fishing, and then obviously into winter, we have skiing and snowboarding and snowmobiling activities, all of which allow physical distancing and bring throughout the state. And so how do our regional communities and our local economies benefit from those things when these visitors come in, they're staying, they're spending dollars, they need to eat, they need gasoline, et cetera. So outdoor recreation is truly an opportunity for a lot of communities involved. And I'm going to just briefly give you because we also see the importance of outdoor recreation and this physical distance. So this fall, the Tourism Center is going to be hosting a free webinar series of three webinars discussing outdoor we're calling it physical distancing by nature. So
that's great. So Cynthia, I know both you and I are both optimists by nature, and I know it's hard to find some silver linings right now in the world, but there are some silver linings out there, the tourism industry and moving into the future. What do you think some of those silver linings are right now?
Well, I think you're right. I am an optimist, and so I think that we are seeing opportunities here. I think the Explore Minnesota Tourism Survey that was done in June suggested that visitors still have an interest in and a pent-up demand for travel. And so their survey generated results that showed that 45% of travelers are still looking to travel but will be doing it locally or in the state of Minnesota. And 20% said that they would be traveling regionally within 500 miles of home. And they will be using their own vehicle. So physical distancing becomes an opportunity there. And I think our businesses and our communities are really doing a great job of communicating and responding to what we see as traveler priorities. Travelers need the reassurance and the sense of safety and well-being are their priorities and their motivations. So we see Minnesota communities across the state responding and saying, hey, we're ready to welcome you when you're ready to travel. They're providing information about what the protocols that are being used in the community are and how they're living it. One of my fun examples is Visit Cook County talks about physical distancing 6 feet apart, but they've said, how about one moose apart? So they're using a little fun with it. So we're open. We're providing Shop Safe, Shop Local is a campaign being used by Owatonna. So communities are saying, we're here, we're welcoming, and here's what we're doing. At the business level, we're also seeing that businesses are providing information and reassurances about the safety protocols they're using. They're emphasizing the cleaning process that they're using, and they're demonstrating using masks and outdoor experiences and seating to communicate that it is safe to come to our communities. And I think that's a very positive thing. I also think the positive piece is that we're all in this together. And so tourism being such an important part of communities, that destination marketing organizations and businesses are demonstrating that they are a vital part of the community itself. And so as they work together to find solutions that benefit not only visitors, but the residents and the business community, I see that those increased relationships as a very positive that squarely recognizes the important role of tourism being community-driven destinations and as a strategy to remain competitive. So I think those are very positive things coming out of this. Are we in very rough times? Absolutely. I think, however, that we will come out of it, and I think that the resiliency and the creativeness of our tourism industry and the communities in which we live, work, and play, we'll get through this together and come out maybe a little different, but I think we'll come out stronger. And it's not going to happen overnight. That's probably the big thing.
Yeah, I think just looking around the country, I think we're, I don't want to say at an advantage in Minnesota, but we do have so many outdoor activities and so many, you know, boundary waters, lakes, hunting. We have so many things going for us that hopefully we can weather that storm quite well, because those things aren't going away.
Well, not only are they not going away, but we as human beings want to have new experiences, want to vacation, we want to attend festivals and events. As business people, we will need to attend conventions or meetings. And so it might be a little slower to come back, but it will. And I think the pent-up demand will also be a positive, is when there's vaccine, when we feel that it is safe again, I think we'll come back and we'll learn new and exciting opportunities to address those needs.
You brought up community festivals, and I think of county fairs.
Yes.
And I know recently, in the last few years, the center did some research on the economic impact of county fairs.
Right.
And it's interesting because I know people are, I've had a few people asking me about that, because people, I think, take for granted the county fairs or the town festivals. And now that they didn't happen, they realize how valuable they are. But can you tell us about some of that research that was done?
Sure. Well, we've done research on a couple of different fairs, including Beltrami and Pine County. And those studies are available through our website at tourism.umn.edu. All of our research is housed in the university's Digital Conservancy download. And what we found, for example, the Pine County Fair found that not only did people enjoy it, and we looked at who was coming and what types of activities they were doing at the fair, but the economic value of the Pine County Fair, and this study was done during the 2017 fair period, found that fairgoers were spending an average of about $35 per person per day at the fair itself, but there was also additional spending in the community outside of the fairgrounds. And so the overall impact was very positive. In fact, I think it came out that the fair board's expenditures on hosting the fair, for every dollar, it generated about $3 in additional spending in the county. And so that's very positive. Businesses, we estimated, and this was a conservative estimate, that businesses saw an increase of about $800 per business. And those are businesses that are not just tourism specific, but it may have been something like an insurance company. So the ripple effect of tourism and tourism spending plays out much more broadly than just the individual business or facility that receives the original expenditure.
That's really interesting to hear. I know, us being a research organization, I think some people don't realize too that the Tourism Center does a great deal of research.
We do.
And why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because I just find it is a plethora of information, and so much information that I didn't know about until a few years ago.
Oh, well, thank you. We're glad to hear that. As I say, all of our research studies are available electronically for download through the university's conservancy. And that research ranges, we're pretty well known for our visitor profile studies, which, up until recently, were intercept surveying done in a host community at various sites to understand not only the spending of visitors, but what their interests are. And that type of research is invaluable to a destination marketing organization and to businesses as they're trying to plan marketing campaigns, strategize, you know, what products they should be putting in the store. What do people like to do when they're in our community? So great research information is available from a visitor profile. We've also done collaborative pieces with some of our extension colleagues in Community Vitality. We work closely with Bridget Tuck, who I know many people are aware of Bridget's economic impact research, and we work closely with them. We also do studies on a variety of interest areas ranging from county fairs to festivals and events, the impact of those. And recently we collaborated with MnDOT and others at the university to do research on biking. So that study is out and is available. So
tell me about that biking one. I know, Kelly on our staff is an avid biker. What did that study find?
Well, it looked at not only the economics of it, but what do those people do? Where are they traveling? And then we partnered with colleagues over in the Humphrey Institute to look at things like the health and wellness aspects of bicycling. And that goes directly to the outdoor benefits that we were talking about earlier, the health and wellness aspects of tourism. And bicycling is a big part of that. So again, the study is available. It's a couple of years old now, but excellent work and has generated a lot of inquiries.
Yeah, what fun research. You know, I think people think of research and it's boring, but the research you all do is really, really exciting and fun.
Oh, well, thank you. Actually, I think that really speaks to the fact that what we do is applied research. We want the findings of our work to be usable to communities, to businesses, and to organizations. And so that's always a priority for us. And that's part of how the University of Minnesota Extension works, is we are very much into applied research and educational programs that people can see benefit from immediately.
And I think that's a good segue to another thing that I don't think some people realize, but the training that you all have available for communities and for industries. If you could talk a little bit about the training you have.
Well, sure. Thank you. We do a variety of educational programs. For example, coming up in September, we are hosting our online festival and event management program. This 6-week online course helps people that are operating or looking to develop a local or regional festival or event to create successful opportunities by using good management practices. And during the course, they learn things not just about marketing, but business operations, finances, the ins and outs of how many porta potties do we need based on the head counts of attendees. Some really useful information.
Yes.
But that course really does help people to create a business plan to be successful. And so I think that's a really good example. Other courses that we offer, we have a manual called the Community Tourism Development Manual for organizations that are looking to develop tourism or communities that are looking to develop tourism. That's sort of a do-it-yourself approach and has lots of resources in it. That's available through the University of Minnesota Bookstore. But we then also work with communities in something we call the Tourism Assessment Program. If a community is looking for help in understanding what their assets are, who some of their potential markets or current markets are, and how their assets align to the consumer, we help them to look at that. It's kind of fun because we bring in, it's a partnership with the community. So the community has to do some work in terms of inventorying their assets. And it's a great way to engage community in doing that. We've seen some really fun ways of doing that. But then we bring in a team of experts to look at the community based on what they say are their assets. We might pull together not only people from the university, but certainly representatives from Explore Minnesota Tourism, so they bring in a marketing eye. We might bring in someone from DNR, someone from the bicycling community, if they indicate that their trails are important. And then the third piece that we bring in is we bring in a sampling we send in some mystery visitors to experience the community and give honest feedback to the community about that experience. And that's something that is invaluable, to get the three perspectives. We call it a 360 look. And that's been very helpful to communities in emerging their tourism opportunities. The third
piece. Will you be able to,
No, that's okay. Just other things that we've done recently. Certainly we are doing a lot more with webinars. I mentioned the physical distancing by nature webinars that are coming up. We collaborate with our Extension Center for Community Vitality colleagues. They're just getting started this week with a business recovery and retention series that we are participating in. And then we also do customer service training. I mean, the bottom line is, if once you have these visitors in your community, how we treat those visitors and how we treat our residents is ultimately critical to their view of that experience and of your community. So we offer that as an opportunity. The last piece is that we've partnered this last year, we partnered with the Minnesota Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus and Explore Minnesota Tourism, and we offered a six-month course called Growing Tourism Leadership, in which we helped community leaders and tourism leaders specifically to look at how tourism plays out in a community, who are the stakeholders that you need to be communicating with, how you communicate with them, how you manage these relationships with your stakeholders. And we're looking to offer that course again probably in early 2021. So we try to respond to the needs of our industry and of our communities, and we feel we're trying to do that. And I think that's where, again, circling back to that advisory committee, we like to hear what our advisory committee is saying is important. That really helps us to stay in touch.
So who is that training available to or for? Is that for anybody? Are there costs associated?
There are some nominal costs associated with the programs, with the festival and event management course, for example. There is a fee for that six-week course, but right now, because we recognize that COVID is really impacting folks' bottom line, we want to make it affordable. We're offering a 25% discount if people register prior to September 12 for the course, which starts September 21st. For the customer service training, there is a fee we charge. If we deliver it, we charge a fee for that delivery, or people can purchase the curriculum and create a sustainable opportunity where they deliver it on a needed basis in their community or their business. So, but then we also offer the free webinar series. So folks can find out about our offerings through our website at tourism.umn.edu at any time. And we want to work with communities across the state and with businesses, and we'd love to talk with anyone that's interested in asking a research question. Is this something that we can help you with, or is this something that we can refer you to secondary data resources?
That's fantastic. I think of, you know, land grant, University of Minnesota being a land grant institution, and outreach being one of the three main characters of a land grant, and you offering these trainings and this research is such an important part of that outreach.
Well, thank you. We do believe strongly that we carry the message, and the concept of the land grant institution is embedded in our philosophy and how the Tourism Center functions, but also how the Extension and the Center for Community Vitality function across the state. So we want to work with our our residents across the state of Minnesota.
Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. It is such a pleasure working with you and your staff and being on the advisory committee as well. And I really hope that people will utilize the resources you have available for them regarding tourism and festivals across Minnesota. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Julie, and thank you to you and your staff for all you do. We consider it an important relationship and look forward to continuing to work with you.
You've been listening to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.